Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Show me his milk.
Just watching as the world goes. 6:10, hi. Hope you had a nice weekend. Dr. Kevin Most later this hour. Golden Globes wrap up. Hawks tickets. Kerry Wood later. Woody announcing his comeback today?
I don't believe so.
Oh, okay.
He's got his winter warm-up.
Dan Hampton later on a terrible slate of games this weekend. Four blowouts. Paul Conrad in the 9 o'clock hour. We've moved Paul to the 9 o'clock hour to try to hide him, but he'll be on with us when we're on with CLTV, and then we'll check in with Paul Coit as well in the Paul hour. Paul Coit from London. The Queen has finally made an appearance. Queen's been quite ill, and she's hanging in, but Chuck may be closer to getting the hat.
Yeah, how about that? And did you hear about we'll ask Paul about this too, but about the accidental shot that went off. There was a guard who didn't know the Queen was up in the middle of the night.
Yeah, and could have shot her.
Yeah,
that would have been bad.
That would have been really bad.
That would not have been good. That, you know, that's going to go on your permanent record. You shoot the Queen, we're going to have a meeting. HR will be involved. At 6:11, we welcome you to a brand new week of exciting and fantastic happenings around your great nation and ours. What? The president-elect will have his first press conference since July later this week. Confirmation hearings are coming up this week. The Hawks are hot. The Hawks won again last night.
President Obama's farewell speech.
Is
tomorrow.
When?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow night?
Mm-hmm. Tomorrow night at McCormick Place.
Will you be there?
I will be there.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
And the inauguration now is just a week or so away. What is the 20th? What day is that?
It's Friday.
Friday.
Week from Friday.
Seems like an odd day to do the inauguration.
Yeah, didn't they used to do it on the Tuesday?
We kid! Is it always January 20th? Seems like a grown-up like me would know that.
As long as I can remember.
It's constitutionally on the 20th.
Oh, okay, so it moves.
Even on a Sunday?
It moves.
Yep.
Wow.
On the 20th.
That would, yeah.
All right, so big Friday kickoff. Of course, no one's playing any of the events. But,
no.
And the Golden Globes last night, I thought were,
I felt the same way.
Kind of boring. Yeah.
It's supposed to be the drunken party good time award show, and it was a little stiff.
Nobody tripped.
I think the only the highlight, I guess, was the appearance of Brad Pitt, and Meryl Streep's speech was awesome too.
It was awesome, but I thought when Angelina Jolie came out and fought Brad Pitt on stage, I thought that was. I mean, I didn't see that coming. That was a surprise. It's all over the internets in case you missed it. And the funniest speech of the night was not a speech, but a presentation. It was Kristen Wiig and Steve Carell.
Oh, hilarious.
That was hilarious.
They were
that
great.
Was really the highlight of the month. The rack that up, man. Rack that up, as we say in the business. And the opening, I thought, was good. But for a guy like Jimmy Fallon, who does musical impressions better than anybody I think I've ever seen, heavy on production. But the song was a little hard to understand.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I hesitate to criticize a host of anything because I've hosted a few, and not at that level, but I've hosted a few, and they're hard.
Yeah, they are.
They're hard to do.
There was the bromance with Timberlake and Fallon. That was cute.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
But again, uh-huh. I thought I was looking for a bigger wow.
Well, this for us was the highlight of the night, Steve Carell and Kristen Wiig.
We are so happy to present Best Animated Film this evening.
Yes, because we all love animated films. Do you remember the first time you saw an animated movie?
I do, actually, very well. It's kind of a big deal. I was 6 years old, and my dad took me to see Fantasia. It was astounding. The music, the spectacle of the whole thing, it was kind of a life-changing experience.
Yeah, it's a classic.
And as we were leaving the theater, there, standing in the lobby was my mom. And that was the moment she told my dad that she wanted a divorce. I never saw my father again after that day. Fantasia Day. What about you? What was the first animated film you saw?
Bambi. March 14th, 1981. It was the same day we had to put our dogs down. Three of them. Little Jack, Janet, and Chrissy. My grandpa thought it would be fun to go to the movie, you know, take our minds off of it. But then, you know, Bambi's mom. And also, that was the last day I saw my grandpa.
That was hilarious.
That was great.
And their faces when they were telling
yeah,
the story.
They
started
well.
Crying.
That was good.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Thank you. Thank you so much, everybody. This is welcome to the Golden Globes. Already the teleprompter's down, so this is a great way to start the show. I can do impressions. What do we do here? I can think of something. Cut to Justin Timberlake, please, and then he'll do so. Just wink at me or something. Yeah. Yeah, this is great. We have another monitor coming in. I can just, you know what? I'll make up this monologue. We're here. This is what happens at the Golden Globes already. You have your Golden Globes moment.
Oh, this is awkward.
I tweeted out right when it happened, and frankly, it was an idea from my daughter. The joke is obvious. And then he came back and did it 10 minutes later. It's like, I knew we shouldn't have hired Mariah Carey's crew. Thank you, Amy Cochran, head writer for the show. Jason Nathanson, covering the Globes, and joins us now. Jason, I don't know if Jason's still liquored up from the parties, but as a professional with ABC News, he probably is sobered up by now. Jason, what's your level of sobriety?
I've learned to hold my liquor and be able to be on the air at the same time.
Good for you.
After a whole night of drinking.
Good for you. Strong professional move.
Absolutely.
I liked Fallon, and, you know, the crowd liked him, but for what was supposed to be the Drunken Party Fest award show, I thought it was a bit of a snooze.
It was. Fallon's a tough choice for something like this because a lot of people do like him, but at the same time, he needs to get a lot of those people in the room booked on his show at some point. So you're not going to hear, you know, he's not going to go after people like Ricky Gervais does, or even Tina Fey and Amy Poehler did in the past. And I think for us at home, that makes for a little more boring show. He was okay. He had some good jokes at the beginning, and then you never really saw him after that. He made the one Dick Clark joke about Mariah messing up his Dick Clark messing up his teleprompter.
Right, after I wrote it on Twitter. Thanks, Fallon.
But, you know, we'll see what the ratings do if they say anything. I think they're going to be a little lower this year. Not just because of Fallon, though, because most of the movies, I venture most of the public has no idea what any of these movies are.
No, not yet anyway. Jason, I felt the whole show was a little bit rushed. I mean, not just the speeches, but I felt it was a little rushed and no big surprises. La La Land taking everything, presenter-wise, except for Brad Pitt.
For those of us who are so, you know, deeply ensconced in Hollywood, there are a bunch of surprises in categories like Best Supporting Actor, which was supposed to go to Mahershala Ali for Moonlight. Moonlight, which wins the Best Drama Award and won nothing else, which is kind of strange that you would have this movie win something, but it didn't win any other category. Aaron Taylor-Johnson won for a film called Nocturnal Animals for Best Supporting Actor. Nobody's seen this movie, and most people don't know who he is. And in the TV side, you know, a couple surprises. Billy Bob Thornton winning for Goliath for an Amazon series. Again, people know who Billy Bob Thornton is, but nobody's seen this show, Goliath.
Did you notice he had his gamer on, his gamer hairpiece?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was the go-to gamer hairpiece last night. That was his badass Billy.
He's pretty smooth. And then Best TV Comedy going to Atlanta, which is a fantastic show. And actually one of their bigger successful stories ratings-wise. But again, you know, it's on FX. There's so much TV these days. Most people probably aren't watching Atlanta either. So, you know, surprises when it came to that. But, as far as the show, it wasn't like, oh, my God, what's happening? What's going on? You know, most people really weren't surprised at home, I would have.
That's the thing about the pre-produced open. And I don't watch a lot of TV because of the hour we get up. But I knew 30% of those people.
And, I mean, do you get the reference? Did you see La La Land? I think most people at home
didn't
really get the reference. It was a fantastic, it really was good. if you knew, if you'd seen the movie,
right.
If you knew what it was referencing. For most people, it's like, okay, there's a big musical number. I don't really know why they're doing what they're doing, but hey, okay, there's the cast of Stranger Things. They're rapping. You know, that's fun. Sure, why not?
The fashion part of the night, I assume you were went commando as always, Jason?
As always. You know, when you're wearing a tux, you can get away with a lot.
Sure. But were any of the women ripped mercilessly?
A lot of them had their Golden Globes on display.
Yeah, they did.
It was a night for cleavage.
From Quantico in the gold dress, I thought the dress was redundant. I go, well, yeah, there's your Golden Globes.
There it is, right? Viola Davis, I thought, had a beautiful gold, yellow colored dress.
Oh, she looked great. Yeah. I liked her dress. Right.
She was wearing yellow, and she looked really good. You know, the Priyanka Chopra is the one that you're talking about from Quantico.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then,
she's attractive, and I think, Jason. Yeah. I don't know if you've noticed. She's an attractive woman.
You know, that's not the first thing I've noticed about her.
Yeah.
Yes, she's a very good-looking woman and a talented actress.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah.
Was the buzz all about Meryl Streep's speech too? Because that was phenomenal.
Yeah, it was from the beginning when Fallon made a bunch of Trump jokes, and then that kind of started to happen throughout a lot of people's speeches referenced Trump, and then, you know, Meryl came in and really showed everybody how it was done without even mentioning Trump's name, but took, you know, dig after dig at him.
Right.
In a room that's very, very friendly and receptive to that kind of talk. Definitely, I think she was the talk in the night and the talk of the morning and the talk of Trump this morning, who's tweeting about her saying that she is one of America's most overrated actresses.
It's just unbelievable.
Arguably the greatest actress of our time.
I know. You got to be better than that. You're about to be the president of the United States. Stop it. Somebody, you know what the Secret Service should be in charge of right now? Protecting him. And every time he reaches for his phone, diving on his phone and taking it away from him.
Yeah, protecting him from himself.
Right.
He's saying this morning that she's one of the most overrated actresses in Hollywood. Doesn't know me, but attacked me at the Golden Globes. She's a Hillary flunky who lost big. So.
Well, here's the rest of it. Donald Trump is the president of the United States in a week because he's a celebrity. Not because he is some politician who's worked his way up. It's because he's a celebrity. So for him to diminish celebrities is not having a right to express their opinion, regardless of the platform, is completely hypocritical. So, you know, Meryl Streep has a right to say what she said. You have a right to do what you want with it.
And that was pointed out hundreds of times last night on Twitter by so many celebrities who are saying, you know, we have just as much a right as you,
right.
You know, you reality show star to say whatever we want. And, you know, Trump has been in that Golden Globe room before as the guy on NBC on The Apprentice. And I don't know that he's ever won anything, but maybe he's upset that he never won a Golden Globe. Maybe
a week ago, he was calling himself a ratings machine and ripping Arnold Schwarzenegger. What?
Right.
But we can't get him on the page that Russia is a threat to America. What is happening?
It's fascinating. And that's the stuff that they were talking about last night, is that, you know, where are the priorities? Make sure you're focusing on the right thing. But a lot of people in that room, they're never going to support him no matter what. And that they made that evident. And there's backlash on that, too. I mean, a lot of people in this country don't want to see Hollywood. I mean, they think this just feeds into the perception of liberal Hollywood ripping into the president and the new administration. But, you know, I think we're going to see this. Remember, this is the first big award show of 2017.
Right.
We got a bunch more to go. There's going to be a lot more of this coming.
Kimmel will crush him at the Oscars.
What's great about her, though, too, I agree with you. She started off defending those with disabilities and then defending the press and then kind of went into Trump, too.
Right. And that's where I think she talked about this thing where Trump mocked a disabled reporter or did. I mean, if you go into it, there's disputes on both sides whether he did mock this reporter.
But you know what, Jason, you're being kind. There is it's indisputable. It's absolutely indisputable. Nobody in their right mind, and it's a bad reference, but nobody in their right mind would look at that thing and know that he was doing anything but that. And the fact that he's a 70-year-old man that's about to be president of the United States and he can't own it is an embarrassment.
I mean, I think a lot of people agree with you on that. That's the tone, at least, we're seeing on Twitter, and we definitely saw last night at the Golden Globes, in the room and backstage, everybody who was overwhelmingly supportive of Meryl Streep.
Nice job by you, as always. You know, maybe like raw eggs and some vinegar or something. I heard that works.
Oh, that sounds horrible.
Well, I don't know. I saw it in a Rocky movie.
No, thanks.
And enjoy the day. Thanks for the help.
Anytime, guys. Take care.
Jason Nathanson, ABC News. By the way, the Meryl Streep, in case you missed it last night, I want to play a little clip of this for you. And take this in context. I don't care how big a Trump supporter you are. It is undeniable that Donald Trump mocked a handicapped reporter. Okay? Doesn't change the fact that he's president. Doesn't delegitimize his presidency. It says something about him as a person. So here is a teaching moment. Here is an opportunity for someone to express their opinion. I don't know how you can argue with what Meryl Streep said last night.
There was one performance this year that stunned me. It sank its hooks in my heart. Not because it was good. There was nothing good about it. But it was effective and it did its job. It made its intended audience laugh and show their teeth. It was that moment when the person asking to sit in the most respected seat in our country imitated a disabled reporter, someone he outranked in privilege, power, and the capacity to fight back. It kind of broke my heart when I saw it, and I still can't get it out of my head because it wasn't in a movie. It was real life. And this instinct to humiliate when it's modeled by someone in the public platform, by someone powerful, it filters down into everybody's life because it kind of gives permission for other people to do the same thing. Disrespect invites disrespect. Violence incites violence. When the powerful use their position to bully others, we all lose.
The big story next on 720 WGN.
And I wish that there was someone I could call.
Who could we possibly call?
The WGN hotline.
What are your symptoms?
I have edema on my thigh, pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now.
Oh, that sounds bad. We better get Dr. Most in here.
I've got a stomach.
Dr. Kevin Most, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better. Good morning, Doc.
Good morning. You sound much better.
You know, I finally started feeling like a human being yesterday. It's the first day in 2 weeks I had any energy at all.
Yeah.
And then I did something that was crazy. I went to church and to the grocery store. Wrecked for the rest of the day. Oh, how do people do it?
Yeah. Boy, thank God you didn't try to do laundry, too.
Oh, but I would say, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm a solid 6 right now.
Oh, good. As long as you're heading towards 7 and not 5, that's a good place to be right now.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, last week you were a 4.6, so you're moving up.
Saturday, I was considering going back to the doctor.
No.
Yeah. Then I turned a corner. The corner that I would have gone to go to the doctor's, and the doctor was outside pretending he wasn't there. Yeah, no, we closed this place, Steve. Stop whining. Go home. All right, several things to discuss here. And one I thought was really interesting. Doc sends me notes, and his prep for this segment is phenomenal. We think about trauma when it comes to gun violence and the horrific scenes that we saw on Friday in Fort Lauderdale, and obviously what's gone on in the city now for years. And what we don't think about are the first responders in what's commonly referred to in your business as the second victims. Explain that.
Yeah. Well, you know, you know who the victim is. The victim is obviously the individual who is harmed. The second victim is actually a couple people. It's the people that initially respond, and it's actually the people in the emergency room and in the hospitals that care for these patients. So you can imagine what the emergency room staff goes through in these inner city hospitals that are dealing with the shooting victims. And that's what they see every day. And that's what they're, you know, that's what they're treating every day. So you can imagine what goes through their minds as they're leaving work for the day when they took care of that 18-year-old who was shot or that 6-year-old who caught a stray bullet and died, you know, and they're there trying to save this child and this young adult's lives.
The second victim in this case could use specific treatment, but that specific treatment probably isn't asked for because these people are heroes. So what do we do for them?
Yeah, you know, I think there's a couple things. One, we do have to watch out, and we do here at every hospital. We always look for that. You know, anytime there's a death in the hospital, that the staff has gotten to know the patient quite well. The staff is really involved in the family. We make sure that we have something called the Employee Assistance Program, which gets up there and talks to the individuals and talks to the staff and helps them through and makes them understand what's going on and that their feelings are proper and right. And it helps them be able to come back the next day with a smile on their face, knowing that the good things that they're doing to care for these patients. So that needs to happen. And in the community, it's even a little bit more difficult because here at a hospital, we have what we call that employee assistance program. In the community, you don't have that. So we really need to get leaders, to get physicians, to get people into the community to do two things. One, treat them how to take care of the patient initially. And two, help them get over what's going on in their community and try to make things better.
Do these people get in? You know, we always talk about a shooting that goes on while counselors are available. Is there regular counseling that goes on for EMT and cops after a shooting?
There is. You know, all of those individuals that have these high stress jobs that are looking at these things that are coming on devastating car accidents and seeing things that can be very psychologically damaging. Definitely, we have those systems in place. But again, those are the professionals. Those are the people we know have to deal with it. It's those one-offs that are very difficult for us to get to that place. You know, we say that, you know, the shootings in schools where counselors are available for students. Yeah, but there's a lot of students. We have to make sure that we send additional counselors there to make sure that these kids are not impacted. Very important, and I have to be honest with you, there's not a lot of these individuals around.
The program at Northwestern and Good Sam that you highlight in your notes this morning, is that able to be replicated all over?
It should be, you know, and here you had two doctors, you know, Dr. Tapeby from Good Sam and Dr. Swaroop from Northwestern, who are trauma surgeons, and said, you know what, a couple things here. Let me go and teach the people in the community and teach those initial caregivers of what they can do to that gunshot victim and try to just stop the bleeding, slow the bleeding, take care of anything they can as a first responder there, which will allow that person to live. But it's also allowed them to get in front of these communities and say, look what gun violence is doing to your community. We need to get these guns off the street. Here's what we need to do. But it's that physician standing up there saying, don't feel like you're helpless when you come onto the scene. If the bleeding is in this area, do this. If this is happening, do this. So it teaches them some basic skills that they could do themselves on the field that actually may save the person's life.
One of the other things we see now that you and I didn't see growing up, I mean, in the 70s, we were told that pot was going to kill us all, and LSD, and then in the 80s, it was cocaine and the rush of cocaine. Now it's heroin, and heroin is a scourge that you see in the neighborhoods. It's a large source of the gang violence. There's a drug called Narcan, which is controversial in parts, but it's saving lives, right?
Absolutely. And you hit it on the head. You know, we heard just recently about Lake County and the number of heroin deaths there. DuPage County has had some. Cook County definitely has a lot. But to be honest with you, in the country, we're okay. We're not great by any means, but this problem is a nationwide problem. And people have to get out of their minds the demographics. If I said to you someone died of a heroin abuse, you automatically go to thinking about a gangbanger, you know, things like that, when in fact the demographics for this is changing. These are high school kids. These are college kids. These are professionals. These are your next door neighbors who are addicted to this drug. And we really need to make sure that we start to treat them quicker. And Narcan is a life-saving drug that, like you said, there is some controversy around it. But, you know, Rich Jorgensen, who is our coroner out here in DuPage County, says, you know, individuals who die from overdoses, they don't have addiction treatment as an option. So we need to be able to get this drug in the hands of the first responders to save lives.
Let's take a break at traffic, come back, and give you some good news on heart attacks and strokes. I mean, not that you have them, but things that are coming for them.
Correct.
We don't recommend them, obviously. That would be bad. At 640, can you tell I'm feeling better?
Oh, yeah, you're feeling much better. Your humor's back, too.
My humor. I'd smack you if I could reach you. Hawks won last night, in case you missed it. We'll get you the replay coming up. Dr. Kevin Most, Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better. And, Doc, let's continue. You have good news on stroke and heart attack?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's a really interesting news, especially on stroke. But just to talk about both of them briefly, you know, we talk about strokes and heart attacks. One of the problems we have is that it's usually due to blockage. We're not getting good fresh blood to the tissue that needs it. And because of that blockage, our heart has problems and we lose heart muscle for every minute that it's not being perfused. And the same with the brain, with the blockage from a stroke. So if you think about it, what happens when people have a stroke is they'll have signs of a stroke. Family member notices that, they call 911. The paramedics come to the home. They get the patient set up. They put him back in the ambulance. They drive him here to the hospital. They get a CAT scan. We see the results of the CAT scan. So you can there's a lot of steps before we can give the patient the medication called TPA. What we've done now in the Western Suburbs, and it's done 6 places in this country right now, and you'll start to see it more and more, hopefully, is we have an ambulance now, and you should, next time you're at the hospital, Steve, you got to see it because it's unbelievable, but it's a mobile stroke unit. So what happens if a patient were to call 911 in a small area of DuPage County and said, I think I'm having the symptoms of a stroke, 2 ambulances are sent to the house, one to local municipality, and one will come right straight from CDH. And that one, when they get to the house there, the ambulance has a CAT scanner in it.
Wow.
So a CAT scan is actually done in the driveway of the patient who's potentially having a stroke.
So you're ready to go with whatever you need to do at the hospital.
Well, no, it's even better than that. Those results of that CAT scan are sent to us via Bluetooth. The neurologist looks at it and says, they're having a stroke. Give them TPA.
Oh, okay. So you save time, save brain.
Exactly. So the clot-busting drug is being given to them while they're on their way to the hospital versus coming here, getting the CAT scan, doing all that.
How cool is that?
It is really cool. And it's only being done, like I said, about 6 places in the country, but some of those have shown up to a 45-minute decrease in the amount of time before the medication is being given. And that is absolutely life-changing from individuals.
And it's got to be crazy expensive, though, right, for these municipalities?
It nothing for the municipalities. The expenses actually lies on whoever has the mobile stroke unit. So we're very fortunate here that had the Northwestern Foundation said, we believe in this enough that we're going to pay for it. So the Northwestern Foundation came up with $1 million for the unit. And you're going to start to see more and more. Rush is going to have one actually very soon as well in the Oak Park area. And I think, you know, 5-6 years from now, you'll start to see that this is going to be the standard of care. But we just have to prove it now. And it certainly looks like from the initial data that this is the way to treat them.
Well, that's good news, Dan Dunn. Well done by you. And you tell me I'm going to live.
Yeah, you're going to do fine.
Okay.
Yep.
For people that have this, we're going to talk to Paul Coit later. Because the queen has been suffering. And, you know, if it comes down to whether I'm okay or the queen's okay, Doc, you know, I really want the queen to be okay.
Yeah.
I saw a story this weekend that said, in most cases, this thing that's going around, this funk that tried to kill me, antibiotics, generally speaking, may not even work on it.
They don't. You know, for the vast majority of these, it's a virus, and it's just going to take its time. Well, look at you. What are you, 2 weeks now?
2 weeks.
And actually, you were one of those that came in kind of on the fence. So, you know, Dr. Velagaputi felt, hey, boy, you might have pneumonia. You may not be on your way to pneumonia. We're going to put you on an antibiotic. And
right.
You see yourself that, boy, that really didn't make much of an impact at all. So we have to realize this is just that cold and flu season, and when you get this crud, it lasts for a couple of weeks, but definitely get in to have a physician take a look at you to make sure it's nothing more seriously. But, you know, get ready because this is not going to go away quickly.
But even though you don't have your head's not a sieve, you don't have the nasty cold symptoms you have, maybe you don't even have a hacking cough, the fatigue with this has been unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. I mean, even if it's not true influenza and it's just this bad cold, you still get the muscle aches. You get you don't sleep well, so you're exhausted. You're not eating well, so you really feel terrible. You're just really knocked out. And it's not fun to have. And I'll tell people, you know, stay away from work because this is how it's spreading right now. You know, if it's unfortunate that we see as much as we do in the winter, but unfortunately we do it to ourselves.
Yes, Steve.
Thank God this isn't my real job. Dr. Kevin Most, Northwestern Medicine. My best to Mike Vivoda and your whole team out there, making people better by making medicine better. Great work by you as always.
You got it, man. We'll talk to you soon.
See you later. That's Dr. Kevin Most, 657. We'll take a break, come back. News at 7 o'clock. After 7, free Hawks tickets and Woody next hour. Kerry Wood will join us. He's plugging something he's up to, which you need to know about on 720 WGN. And we're back.
You okay?
Yeah.
You had to take a quick cough break.
Yeah, I'm great. I'm totally fine.
We are so glad you're back at work.
Wow.
Aren't we, Dave?
Yes, we are.
That did not feel like a full break to me. I don't know, but maybe it's just the bronchitis talking.
Could be.
Let's do the replay. It's sponsored by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. When the Hawks win, we make a federal case out of it. Tell me when you're ready, Jake, and go.
Chicago!
Blackhawks look to turn a two-game win streak into a three-game win streak as they take on the Nashville Predators. Fending off Yossi over the Predator line. Give it to Panarin. He scores! A howitzer from the left-hand board. Panarin found the top left corner over the shoulder of Rene. And the Hawks lead 1-0 on a bomb from Artemi Panarin. Wow! Ekholm took it back into the Hawks zone, shoots and scores from the left circle. Ekholm takes a handoff from Mike Fisher that originated from the left wing boards. And within a minute, the Predators have tied it at one. Patrick Kane to the puck in the right wing corner, Pret zone. Will carry it around, drop it at the blue line. Keith to Jalmerson, high slot, fakes and now fires. He scores! Hammer time! Nicklas Jalmerson let it rip from about 5 feet inside the blue line straight away. And an eluded Pecorini, and the Hawks have retaken the lead at 2-1. Ekholm fires from the left point block. Loose puck in front, they score. Austin Watson. We're tied at 2. To the right wing boards, Carroll to panic in front. He whips it through his legs and fires. Turn wide by Rene, they score! Richard Panic, and the Hawks lead 3-2. Hartman's got it. Swings it down ice. It rolls toward the net. They score! An empty net goal for the Hawks, and I believe Ryan Hartman's going to get it. It'll be his second on the night, and this should put this one away. The Hawks lead 4-2. It bounces to Kane, to Hartman at center ice. A long shot. He scores! Hat trick for Ryan Hartman! Two empty net goals, and the Chicago area kid is having some fun tonight. And in his 1,500th National Hockey League game, head coach Joel Quenneville got a win due to the effort of the boys as the Blackhawks beat the Nashville Predators here tonight 5-2.
Man, a fine run they're on. Hawks tickets in 20 minutes, sponsored by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mundus.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Saw new mom Janet Jackson at Bed Bath & Beyond this weekend, just trying to get out of the house, you know. So first week as a mom, she just needed a quick break.
Did she bring her 20% off coupon?
She didn't. I let her have mine. 7:12 in the morning. It's a big week in Springfield. There will be a vote for the Speaker of the House, which Mike Madigan will likely win. However, you have an opportunity, once again, to affect the outcome of that. And therefore, possibly start the process, or maybe I'd say continue the process, of shoving this dinosaur out the door. Tiny dinosaur that he might be. Mike Madigan will be up for speaker again for the, I don't know how many times. This is why the term limits conversation is relevant. He will then be able to disable, dismember, disarm, derail all sorts of bills and legislation that he finds not to his liking, and therefore they will never get a vote, never get a hearing. I'll give you a perfect example. Let's say, and I have faith in Senate President Cullerton. I feel like he wants to do the right thing.
He met with Christine Rodonio several times over the weekend.
Oh, he did?
I'm told, yes.
Okay. So let's say that Cullerton and Rodonio come to an agreement on something today, and they get it through the Senate. It's likely to be ugly. It's likely to be, you know, because any budget at this point is going to be ugly. There's going to be just tremendous cuts. There's going to be a tax increase.
An income tax increase.
There has to be. There's no way around it. But the ugliness of that will eventually get us to a budget. So if they do the work, and that sounds like they've done some of it this weekend, to get a budget set up to be voted on in the Senate, it gets through the Senate, it goes to the House, then it's on Mike Madigan to hear it, put it to a vote, and pass it. Mm-hmm. And then let the governor actually sign it or not sign it. You know, let the chips fall where they may.
Right.
And it's on Rauner's desk.
But then it's also going to come back in 2 years to bite Governor Rauner, because then they're going to say, well, he was the first governor in X amount of years that approved this huge income tax increase, which
yeah,
was part
fact
of the compromise
is,
plan.
Rauner told me last week on this show that he doesn't care if he has a second term. He doesn't care if this costs him a second term, if in fact he's able to affect some positive change here. And you got to worry about now. You got to worry about right now. Can't change a minute of the past. All you can change is the present and the future. So do you believe, is there anything in the world of your belief system that says if Cullerton and Redonio were to put a budget together, that Madigan would treat it and take it like a man and take a vote on it this week? I don't. Because it doesn't serve his narrow-minded interests. And this is why he's got to go. So for that reason, once again, I tell you that even though you're not in Mike Madigan's district, Mike Madigan is the Speaker of the House, and he controls your life every single day. Did you run over a pothole this weekend? Did you find any sort of state services that weren't getting paid for in your world? They get closer to your door every day. You know that more and more people are moving out of Illinois than every other state in the country other than New Jersey? These are all problems that Mike Madigan is making worse. And again, Speaker Madigan, if I'm wrong about any of it, show up here and defend yourself. Show up in person or show up by phone.
Do you see any?
But defend yourself.
Do you see any scenario where he's not reelected speaker?
Yeah. I mean, listen, Trump got elected president. You know, there's always that possibility. I mean, it's a very narrow possibility, but if enough people today, this is the biggest talk show audience in Chicago, if enough people today started banging the phones on their elected reps in Springfield and said, I will not support you if you support Mike Madigan, then there's a chance it wouldn't happen.
Yeah.
There is a minimum number he needs to receive.
The new session's going to begin on Wednesday.
Now, even if he is elected speaker, and I will grant you that probably will happen, you have to keep the pressure up. Can't just come from my big mouth. It's got to come from you as well. So that note to your elected rep can go as an ongoing thing. If you support Madigan for speaker now, or if you support Madigan going forward, I will not support you in your next reelection bid. It's the only way to affect change, kids. .720 now, and oh, this is exciting. It's been far, far too long. But it's time for a thrilling return to America's favorite game show, Who's Got a Puck in Their Pants? Let's sing the lyrics. You know the words. This is the intro, remember? Who's got a puck in their pants? Who's got a puck in their pants? Who's got a puck in their pants? Is it you? Is it me? Who's got a puck in their skivvies?
Oh, I think we're going to make it rhyme.
And the one person that's most excited about the puck in the pants, producer Mary Sandberg, who's been praying that I would forget I ever had this idea to begin with. Isn't that right, Sandberg?
That is correct.
Yes.
I believe there's a few people that aren't a huge fan of this game.
Several of the Hawks executives as well have expressed their wish that I would end this game. But it's delightful, and the public loves it. And when the public loves it, I think you have to give the public what they want.
I think maybe we do one puck in the pants for every 30 Hawker riddles.
Mm. Well, we are trying very hard to get very unique people to shove the puck in their pants. Well, not. And the thing is, I've never made you do this. I just simply say, hand the puck to the celebrity and let them place the puck in their pants.
Yes, I want no part of it.
Yes. Why is this not your favorite game show?
You know, it just doesn't sit right with me.
She likes shock talk.
Who's got
better.
A puck in their pants?
I love shock talk.
You've got
talk.
A puck in their pants.
I love the Hawker riddles. I think that they highlight the city.
Who's got a puck in your pants?
Ooh, ooh.
Don't put it in your boxer shorts.
Ooh, ooh.
It'll fall through the leg.
I think this falls into that category of that one time when we all got on the elevator and then you hit every button.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That
yeah,
yeah. This puck in the pants, it reminds me of when you hit every button on the
55
elevator.
55 going on 12.
Yeah.
Yeah. Come on, everybody. Let's play. I think you know how this works. We have stuffed a celebrity's pants with a puck. That hockey puck in their pants cannot be comfortable. They can only remove the puck when you are the winner of these Hawks tickets.
Got a puck in their pants. I got a puck in their pants.
You know the pucks are frozen. You know that, right?
Yeah, that's how you keep them there. Yeah. Ooh, that's cold. I have a pair of tickets for the Blackhawks and... Oh, this is a good game, man. Blackhawks and the Red Wings. Right?
Only visit of the year by the Red Wings.
Which is ridiculous.
It is.
You know, they face each other more than any two NHL teams.
Yeah, but not lately.
Two a year now. Yep. You're going to be entered to win four season tickets next year, but you're going to be there tomorrow night when the Hawks B-slap the Red Wings all over the Madhouse on Madison. Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing supply the tickets, and you qualify for season tickets next year. Bonus chance for you to win later on the Ro Khan Show. By the way, Ro never steals ideas from this show or people, as you know. He's doing a puck in your trousers later on, which is totally different. At 7:23, here is clue number one. This individual is a Southside Chicagoan. A Southside Chicagoan who shares a name with one of the most famous newspaper executives ever. Who's got a puck in their pants? Clues will continue coming up. But first, it's 7:24. I got a puck in my pants. Let's take a break and come back on 7:20 WGN. I was walking down the street minding my own business and I ended up with a puck in my pants. Some celebrities will appear by telephone. Some celebrities will appear in person. Some celebrities will be impersonated if they refuse to put a puck in their pants. I'll give you one more clue on this one. This individual, a Southside resident, he shares the name of a famous newspaper executive. And in his new job, he will drive on a street that bears his name. Who could it be? Who could it be? Chicago celebrity. Let's go to the phone and see if Chuck knows. Good morning, Chuck. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Fine, thanks. Do you have a puck in your pants?
I've checked and I don't have one.
All right. Do you agree that Sandberg's completely wrong about this bit and this is gold?
No, I love it. Yeah. I hear it every time you do it. Great.
Yeah, it's
great.
Fantastic. Brilliant idea. I think it's Nobel Prize winning. All right, so who is the winner?
Ben Bradley.
Oh, could it possibly be?
Hi, I'm Ben Bradley, and apparently there's a puck in my pants.
Yeah.
That's the payoff, kids.
That's his first investigative report.
That's why you get up at 4 and come to work in the morning. Ben Bradley's got a puck in his pants. You like it better now, Sandberg?
No.
Oh, come on. It's always so funny when they say it.
I like it a lot better than I did yesterday.
Right, because you're a winner today.
Yeah.
Who are you going to take to the game tomorrow night?
Well, if I don't take my wife, I am in big, big trouble.
Yeah, yeah. You better put a puck in your pants then. All right, Chuck, congratulations, and thanks to Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. Hold the line, okay?
Great, thank you.
All right. Sandberg brought something else up that I think we should take on after Woody comes by in a few minutes. And that is, this was a big remote control fight weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Because last football. Night you had the Hawks on.
Yep.
You had football.
The Globes.
And the Golden Globes. And the idea that you as a couple would watch TV together means somebody's got to have the remote.
This is true.
So do you have a remote fight in your house?
We have, yes. Well, if it's not really a fight when one person is the only person that ever is in charge and holds it the whole entire time.
That would be your husband?
Yes.
I was going to say, what's that like for you?
But it's got to make you crazy with your control freak thing.
Yes. And he not only does he control it always, he doesn't even... I brought this up to you because when we were in St. Louis for the weekend, we worked out on Sunday. Sunday, New Year's Day. Bridesmaids came on E! I went back to the room, took a shower, and I was lounging on the bed before we were going to dinner, and I was watching Bridesmaids. And he walked in, and he doesn't even say anything.
He just grabbed the remote,
takes the remote, and puts the Red Wings whatever game on. Now, it was a good end, but he just doesn't say anything. And he does this all the time. I haven't said anything in 3 years. And so I said, do you know that you never say, like, hey,
are you
do
watching
you mind
that?
If I... And he goes, you've seen it like 30 times, but that doesn't matter to me.
Right.
I wanted to watch it. And I watch a lot of sports. We watch a lot of sports, but I know he always has to watch sports for work. And it's not quite as fun because he stops things, takes notes, rewinds. You know, it's not quite the relaxing, enjoyable experience. But I watch a lot of golf. I watch fringe tournaments. And he'll come home later and he sits down next to me and he goes, we don't care about Malaysia. Click. And then he goes to whatever thing he wanted to see.
Now, that's a violation. That's a violation of the international rules of remote.
Wow. Or if I'm watching a House Hunters, he'll say, I'm not really feeling this. Click. Like, I'm like, this isn't... I never, ever, ever, ever have a say or...
You don't say it's not for you to feel.
Listen, as wrong as you are about pucking your pants, you couldn't be more right about this. Because there are international rules of remoting, and they've been established since the invention of the remote. You can look them up. There's a commission that oversees this. And in the international rules of remote, possession matters. So when you have possession of the remote and the person walks into the room, there must be an inquisitive question. There must be a question. There must be a question and answer period. Are you watching this? Do you mind if I change it? And a reason given why. And if you turn it down, no, you got to sit there and watch it or find another TV, pal.
And I was, I'll be honest, I will let him change it. I just want to
Well, you're letting this behavior go on.
No, I just want to be asked. Or, you know, last night, because
argue that you're fostering this sort of problem in your own home.
My favorite is when he's like, where's the remote? I'm like, you're always sitting on it. I'm never in charge of the remote. So asking me where it is like, a waste of time.
It should be 50-50.
Also, when he goes into the kitchen, he'll say, can you pause it? But I'm like comfortably in my little nook on the couch and I have to get up and go get the remote from his side to pause it. It's very annoying.
I think you've got remote problems in the house that could be damaging to the relationship.
This is a very important conversation to be having this morning because tonight you have The Bachelor, you have the college football playoff national championship, and
definite
the Bulls
remote
and Thunder.
Definite
all going
remote
on
fight.
And then when you have your kids home from college, they just throw it into the mix, too. My son has to watch what he wants to watch. He plays video games.
He or she who holds the remote holds the keys to the TV.
Yeah, but you got to get the remote, so you got to fight for it.
If you have the remote in your hand...
There's no fighting.
Okay, whoever gets there first.
And a request by some other family member or loved one about the show that you are watching needs to be taken under consideration, though... Does not have to be granted. These are the international rules of remoting.
And it doesn't matter how many times you've seen something.
Doesn't matter.
If you are watching it and it's enjoyable to you, that should have no bearing on it.
I'll give you a perfect example. That Bridesmaids nonsense that you were watching is fine. But if I come into a room, or if you come into a room and I'm watching Blazing Saddles, which I've seen 4 million times, and you try to take the remote, I'd have to break your hand.
Yes. But you're the boy. I have a feeling the boys... In more cases than all the households.
He or she who controls the remote controls the destiny of the television.
Yeah. Hence the man cave. Put him in the man cave and let him do what
But then
they
he'll
want
say, I'll
remote.
Say, you know, I'm going to go in another room. And he's like, you're not going to watch with me? It's like you took over whatever I was watching anyway.
Well, how would you feel if he went in another room and watched? Do you care?
No.
Okay.
She wants him to go in another room and watch.
I just wanted to watch whatever I was watching.
Please, right, leave the room. Yeah.
She wants to press her own buttons.
Yes, the buttons are important. 312-981.
We have to address that really quick before the big story. Why do you say buttons so weird? Say it right now. Say it.
Buttons.
Yes.
I thought that too. Yeah.
Hey, I have a button on my shirt.
I have a button on my shirt.
Much emphasis on the
don't wear mittens.
Both tees.
Milk is in a carton.
Do you have a kitten?
I don't. My parents lost their kitten a couple weeks ago.
Oh, that's sad.
I heard that it swallowed a button.
That'll kill cats left and right. There's no question about it. All right, we got to do the big story. We'll come back with that. But texters, we're doing it right now. Okay. Texters, 312-981-7200, weigh in on the remote fight. Is there rules of remoting that we need to establish beyond what I've already stated here, which are irrefutable?
Mm-hmm.
He or she? Oh, we going on over.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
1-2 from Kerry Wood. Got him swinging. 3-2. Got him swinging. The 0-2. Strike three call. Good morning, good afternoon, good night. Make it 5 in a row. Did he go? Yes, he did. What can you say? Here comes the hook. Got him. 20 strikeouts. He ties the major league record. Unbelievable.
That remains the greatest pitching performance since my 27 strikeout performance in wiffle ball when I was 10.
Yeah, that one was pretty good.
I got the last 9 imaginary batters on 3 pitches. Woody joins us now. Happy New Year, my friend. How are you?
Good morning. Happy New Year.
You remember my 27 strikeout wiffle ball performance?
Like it was yesterday.
What wicked, wicked stuff that day.
That's actually way more difficult to throw that ball over the plate, the wiffle balls.
I tried to show it to you, and you said I can't use it in the game. I said, whatever. So listen, let's talk about what's really important before we get to the event. Who controls the remote in your house, you or Sarah?
Sarah, yeah. She does. Or I'll just go to a different room.
What if you don't want to watch Say Yes to the Dress?
Yeah, well, then I go to a different room, and then she usually is like, okay, well, if you're going to leave, then we can watch what you want to watch. But she goes to bed early. When she gets in bed, like her feet get off the ground, she's asleep in like 5 minutes, so... I'll let her just start whatever, you know.
Right, you know she's going to be out.
Yeah, I'm like, all right, go ahead and get your 6 minutes in, and then I'll change it when you fall asleep.
Good man by you. Good man.
I pick my battles.
What do you watch that she thinks is really stupid?
Oh, everything.
All right.
We have different tastes. I was watching an old Korean War thing last night on the History Channel. She had zero interest in. So, yeah, everything.
And what does she watch that drives you nuts?
Golden Globes.
Oh, the Globes. You're not a Globes fan. Yeah,
I'm not a award show fan at all.
See, for me, it's the Housewives. The Housewives are the most reprehensible people on the planet.
Yeah, we're not a Housewives kind of a household here. We don't watch that.
Yeah, good for you. Draw the line. Listen, Woody's Winter Warm-Up's coming up. It's a celebrity mixer, and Pete McMurray is going to co-emcee it with Jane Monzuris, and it's coming up. 6th annual event already. How about that?
Yeah, how about that? It's been a great event for our foundation. We team it up with the opening night of Cubs convention, so there's always a lot of buzz, a lot of baseball talk and excitement for spring training, which is right around the corner. So, this is our sixth event, our 6th year doing this, and it's been a great for our program, our mentoring program that we run in Lawndale. So that's where all the proceeds go. So it's been really really beneficial for us.
Be at Harry Carey's on Navy Pier Friday night. What time are you starting?
We start at about 8:30, and then we end about whenever Grant kicks us out.
Yeah.
So it's usually midnight or a little bit later sometimes. But it's always a great event and a great fun time, and get lots of people to come in and help out, and get the Cubs will come out and get behind the bar and just kind of bartend and kind of compete for tips, and it's always a good time.
Tom Ricketts will be there. Ryan Sandberg, Fergie,
yeah.
Kyle Jenkins. Israel Adonijay, Chicago's TV shows. You know, you got Chicago Med, you got Chicago PD, you got Chicago Dentist, you got Chicago Podiatrist. All those guys will come out.
Isn't that amazing? How about that? The Chicago, the movie scene or the TV scene.
It's unbelievable.
And that's actually in Lawndale. So it's a good partnership there as well for those guys to come out, and we're happy to have them.
Oh, that's cool. Sarah Spain's coming out. I love Spainer. Mm-hmm. Ryan Cheverini and his band.
Yeah,
Rhyme Fest, Jim Peterick. The great thing about Jim Peterick is he's 94 years old and he still wears leather pants. I love
and
Peter.
Has purple hair.
Awesome. Hey, if you can get away with wearing leather pants, why wouldn't you?
He's the best. Drake Bell from Nickelodeon, DJ White Shadow, the Plain White Tees. I mean, it's a heck of a show, man.
Yeah, we've had great success in the past, and it's a fun event. So people come back out the next year and support us. So we're very very lucky and very blessed to have such great partners. ConAgra is our partner, our lead sponsor this year, so we're excited to have them on board. And it's really just getting the guys together and getting, obviously this year is going to be a lot of buzz with the World Series trophy potentially showing. I think the World Series trophy is going to show up this year. So there's going to be a lot of buzz about baseball and this team. So and how much fun they had last year, and how meaningful it was to millions and millions of fans. So it'll be very exciting to get around and start talking about baseball and stop talking about all this cold weather.
Did you see how he slipped in the breaking news there that the trophy's showing up?
Trophy, yeah. I heard that. Well, trophy's been making the rounds. You know, talking about watching the Saturday night, I'm sitting in a hotel room in Lincoln, Nebraska, watching MLB Network, their recap of Game 7 of the World Series.
How'd that go for us?
It went pretty well, actually, Steve.
Yeah.
I didn't need to be up watching it at 1:30. I kind of knew the ending. But Woody, what should – okay, we're about a month from pitchers and catchers reporting, maybe about 5 weeks, I think, till they report to Arizona. If you're a Cubs fan, what should you not be worrying about as you look towards spring training? Put everybody's minds at ease.
You shouldn't be worrying about anything. You should be riding this thing out. We're World Series champions and have fun with it all summer. Until the next one's crowned, we are the world champions.
Well, how about two in a row?
Yeah, why not? I mean, I think the last team to win two in a row was the Yankees. I think they did it three in a row, actually. But they had a strong core and a young core that stayed together, and we had that same kind of a setup in our organization now. And obviously, our front office doesn't stop. They're constantly looking to make improvements to make this team better, and even from big pieces to the smallest piece. So I don't think there's anything to worry about for Cubs fans. I think, obviously, you hope you get through spring training, and health is the main issue for every team going into camp. But I really don't see any weaknesses in this team. I think I love the way Davis pick up. Obviously, sorry to see Soler go, but I think it's a good deal for us. There wasn't really a spot for his. I think getting John Jay in the left-handed bat helps us as well. And so I think the couple of moves we've made, and like I said, going to continue to make, this team is solid.
I was going to say, what do you see this team being a dynasty-type team, right? Like, we can continue this winning streak.
No reason not to be.
Right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. This team is young. They're built. They have playoff experience and World Series experience, and they're still young. They're hungry. Great group of guys. They all mesh well together, and obviously Joe Maddon and his coaching staff has done an amazing job of getting these guys to buy into their philosophy. And it's been fun to watch this kind of evolve over the last couple of years, but last year was just amazing to watch these guys go out and do it. And so I expect a lot of the same. I really do. I think we lost Hamill, but I really like Montgomery coming in. He doesn't have a whole lot of experience starting or a whole lot of innings, but he's a young guy and he's got great stuff. He can spin the ball really well. So as a number five starter, he's great, but as we all know, it's going to take more than five starters throughout the season. So we've got some young guys that are ready to step up as well. So it should be a pretty uneventful spring training as far as fighting for jobs, but there's a couple out there. I'm sure that they're going to have to make some decisions, but I think we just stay healthy through spring and just pick up where we left off.
Are you going to be out there?
Yeah, I'm planning on getting out there for a little bit. I hope to be out there. I was out there last year for a few weeks, and it's just nice to be around the guys and back in the clubhouse again and back on the field. So, yeah, I plan on being out there for a few weeks this year again.
Woody, a few weeks ago when it was snowing like crazy, there were kids out at Kerry Wood Cubs Field right by Lane Tech playing snow baseball. It was so cool. That field and the projects where you build those fields for the communities are just so – the response has just been overwhelming with the kids playing. You're building more, right?
Well, I don't know if we are in the mix of that right now, but I know that field what a change the landscape over there by Lane Tech, and how many kids have been able to play on that and high school games and state championship games that were played on it. So it's been huge for the area and huge for high school baseball. I mean, really, there was I think one other stadium in the city where you could actually play high school baseball on a legitimate field. So they did a wonderful job. We teamed up with the Cubs and it took us a while to get this thing built, but we got it done, and it looks beautiful. And like you said, every time I drive by there, it's being used. So that puts a smile on my face.
As it should. And we saw what happened with the Hawks. Winning breeds excitement in kids, and when you combine winning with a group of likable guys that fans can relate to and that fans can interact with, you're going to get a baseball explosion again, which is, frankly, it's been a long time.
And we needed one, honestly. We needed a baseball explosion in our youth, and it's been, even out here in the suburbs where I'm at now, it's been great. My kids were, I played, and they knew I played, and they were around it all the time.
But they were hockey kids, I'll bet, right?
Well, you know, they were young and they liked basketball and they still like basketball and we're watching hockey and getting the Blackhawks, and then all of a sudden, you know, Dad was just going to work. That was what I did. So they were like, "Ah, it's no big deal. I'm in the clubhouse again. Oh, another game, another baseball game." And then, you know, it changes when your local team wins the World Series, yep. And there's buzz, and everybody at school is talking about it, and the hype is there. So it's been great for the community, and not just in Chicago. As you know, Chicago fans are all over the country, and they travel well. So it's been huge for the youth baseball.
It's nice that your kids have finally realized you're cool.
Yeah, well, only one of them.
Oh, okay. Hey, before I let you go, condolences on Stan Zielinski. Stan was a scout for the Cubs forever. He passed suddenly just a few days ago, and I assume you knew him?
Yeah, vaguely. Just in passing a few times, and obviously heard his name and the work that he had done and the guys that he had signed and how important he was to our organization.
Including Schwarber.
Including Schwarber, and I believe Samardzija as well. So,
yeah.
And obviously, he was involved in several other players as well. But it's obviously devastating when you lose anyone in the organization and you lose someone of his caliber. It's tough to swallow. But our condolences obviously go out to his family and we wish him the best.
Yeah, just 64 years old, and I don't know if you know Woody, that's not old anymore.
That's not old anymore. You're right.
So. All right, one more time. Friday night, 8:30 to midnight or later at Harry Carey's on Navy Pier. Meet a bunch of local Chicago celebrities. Have Pete McMurray annoy you. And enjoy Woody's Winter Warm-Up with the partnership of Conagra and Slim Jim and David Sunflower Seeds and all sorts of other great partners. Live auctions include tickets for the ring ceremony, special cocktails, Woody's Winter Whiskey. How do you think he gets through the winter? And you'll get to be able to be a part of a really cool event and raise money for the foundation and see a bunch of great Cubs, including some of your old favorites, too. And Ricketts will be there, so ask him for a deal for your kid.
Yeah, I'm asking for some tickets. Yeah. Actually, the Woody's Winter Whiskey is on at Harry Carey's. They've been a great partner with us, so they are donating all the proceeds back to the foundation for the month of January if you go in and get a Woody's Winter Whiskey. So it's cold enough out there, so everybody swing in and grab at least one.
Yeah, that's good. I remember last time I saw Woody over there at the bar, and he's going, "Hey, I struck out 20. I was going, "Hey, Woody, chill, man. Come on.
That's 20. I said I only have one.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks, man. Good luck Friday.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Thanks. See you later.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more.
Live to Channel 9 at 8:13. Good morning, Dean.
And the Golden Globe for Best Singer goes to...
Oh, did you hear that? Oh.
Steve Cochran.
Did you? I thought you shouldn't have heard that.
So great.
You got a cold, buddy? Sound like you got a cold.
No.
You sick?
I just ate some peanut butter.
Oh, that'll do it.
Like 3 seconds ago, I was like a dog with peanut butter trying to...
I used to do that as a trick when Dean was around here a little more often. I'd take a spoonful of peanut butter, and I'd have him take the spoonful of peanut butter right before he went on the air, and then he'd go... It's always funny.
Excuse me, is there anything funnier than that?
The dog trick with peanut butter?
I used to do that with my dog all the time.
Yeah, and it's not like they're upset about it. It's peanut butter.
They enjoy it.
Let's go in reverse order here. You two coming to town?
Yes, they made a big announcement.
They asked for me yet.
They did ask for you to be the opening act.
Yep.
I wasn't going to mention it because I didn't know if you had confirmed that information with them yet.
You know my demands. Jimmy John's. And $30.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I need.
You've upgraded quite a bit.
Yes, I have.
From back in the day.
Yeah.
Are you going to take the job? Or they haven't gotten back to
you? They haven't gotten back to me yet. I just want you to make sure you pass my demands along.
Does it have to be Jimmy John's, or can it be any kind of
stuff? I'm not actually a big Jimmy John's fan. I would prefer maybe a Potbelly's.
Potbelly's is good.
Yeah. Prefer a wreck to a Tom Turkey?
I don't know what you're talking about, woman. But the $30 covers parking. So
basically you're working for free?
Yeah.
Or just the sandwich?
Yeah. Well, you two needs me. I think that's clear.
They're a fading group. They need help any way they can get it.
No doubt. So how do we get tickets?
That explains why they're playing Soldier Field.
Right.
June 3rd. The tickets for this are going to go on sale on January the 17th. This just came out this morning, Steve. The ink is still wet on this if we actually use paper and ink.
Remember those days? Billy Joel tickets for American Express customers, I think it's today. And right. I need everyone with an American Express card not to order so I can get mine.
Okay.
Yeah. So what was that, like 10 a.m. probably?
10 a.m. Through all the usual places. LiveNation.com, Ticketmaster.
But you have to be an American Express.
Actually, you know what? It's now that I think of it, it's 1-800-THE-CUBS. It's 1-800-THE-CUBS and Cubs.com/Billy Joel. It's different because it's Wrigley Field.
Yeah, look at the Cubs getting into everything.
Yeah.
All right.
They had to build up that area a little bit. They have a lot of potential there. They had to try to build up that area, try to make it a little more tourist friendly over there.
You know what I told Tom Ricketts? I saw Ricketts this weekend, and I said, you know what you need over there? Ski ball. Ski ball, man. Ski ball's hot.
Who doesn't love
ski ball? Ski ball and air hockey. That would really make the difference.
Who doesn't love those two games?
That's what I'm saying. We have breaking news in the Kardashian robbery.
Steve, because we've talked about this so much, we go to our French reporter in Paris.
Yes.
For this live report. Merci, Monsieur Richards. That didn't even sound like two different voices, did it?
No, it really didn't. No.
That's
but
why.
If you were the French reporter, I would ask, how did you find the bad guys?
Well. Now I want a croissant.
Uh-huh. Sure you do.
Avez-vous
more butter?
Steve, où est la bibliothèque?
Où les foucouche à mequa? Wakwa.
Did you say where is the library?
Yes, I did.
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
There you go, yeah.
That's all I remember from several years of French in high school.
Okay, here's the thing I don't understand.
That I've never used once, by the way.
Even in his craziest Kanye West moments, he and Kim Kardashian never said 16 people robbed them of their jewels. So how did they arrest 16 people?
Steve, the French work in mysterious ways.
Yeah, and bicycles.
That's all I can say. I'm surprised it took them this long to find these guys.
Well, it took them that long to pedal to their house.
Escaped on the bikes. They must have returned their, I can never remember the name of the bikes that you can rent.
The divvies.
Sorry.
That was the problem. You had to rent the divvy bikes to get to the other side of Paris.
Right.
And they kept running out of change.
Right.
They
got the jewels. They ran outside. They were putting their credit card information into the divvy bike station.
Yep.
That's what messed them up. But 16 people were arrested in relation to this. And
have any of them pled not guilty?
Not any of them. There's been no talk whatsoever of their pleas, or as they say in France, les pleas.
The only plea I have is for red wine and a decent brie.
You may put me in the incarceration, but I demand a decent brie cheese.
That's what she's saying. All right, so you'll follow that story with your best people.
Oh, I'm going to be on this all day.
Oh, that's not the end of it?
No.
Oh, good.
No.
They're going to go to trial. They're going to be...
It's fantastic.
Right.
Executed.
Yeah. Yes.
Henry VIII style.
Yeah. I wonder if LeBeau from Hogan's Heroes was involved.
Yeah, you sound like a dog with peanut butter on the roof of your mouth.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor.
How about Jay getting that done, huh? That's impressive. 8:24, back to Dean at Channel 9.
We rehearsed that all weekend.
Very impressive.
Said I'm going to talk about peanut butter. You got something to follow that.
Well done. Well, it all started with a pretty impressive production piece from Jimmy Fallon, though it made me feel old because I only knew about a third of the people in it.
Right. I thought that was the only problem with it. It was very well produced. It was a spoof of the beginning of La La Land. It has a similar opening dance montage. You were lost, and it's not something that if you see it, it's still funny. It's like if you don't know who the people are or what the references are, it doesn't really make that much sense. So it was fine. I thought the beginning of that montage fell a little flat till Justin Timberlake came out, and he did a little bit with him, and was mocking him, imitating him. They did a little dance number that was really funny. And then, unfortunately, Jimmy Fallon walked out, to the live audience to start his monologue. And that's where the trouble began. We have a little clip of that.
Thank you so much, everybody. This is welcome to the Golden Globes. Already the teleprompter's down, so this is a great way to start the show. I can do impressions. What do we do here? I can think of something. Cut to Justin Timberlake, please, and then he'll do so. Just wink at me or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Just the whole show. He's. I mean, that's part of his demeanor. That, you know, that quick, you know, as if he's talking off the top of his head, kind of.
Yeah, but here's
stammer,
the thing.
Stammer that he has, but he looked lost.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Because you've done a million of those things, and so have I. Not at that level, but when the S hits the fan, you tap dance.
Right.
You go out in the audience, you find some funny, and the thing is, he does it every night on TV, so I was surprised he wasn't more ready for it. And then I tweeted out the Mariah Carey joke, and then they did it 10 minutes later.
Yeah.
So he owes me $50.
It's, I said earlier, you know, it's funny when you don't have a dozen writers behind you to help you do your off-the-cuff ad lib.
But see, there's the perfect bit. You know, it seems like somebody would have had a meeting and said, if it all goes bad, all the writers walk on and start screaming ideas
right.
at me.
I mean, that's the thing. When you do a live show, truly anything can happen.
Right, be ready.
But you have to be ready for something completely devastatingly, you know, last minute like this. And you have a go-to thing if something like that happens. He could have just easily walked down the stairs and walked into the audience and made something out of it. Anybody stammered and didn't know what to do while they were moving equipment. And
what if Steve Carell and Kristen Wiig host next year?
I thought they were really. That's the funny in the show came from the presenters. There were a few moments. My favorite was when Carell and Kristen Wiig were introducing the nominees for Best Animated Film, and they said, "So, what was the first animated film that you saw?" And then they exchanged their stories.
It's kind of a big deal. I was 6 years old, and my dad took me to see Fantasia. It was astounding. The music, the spectacle of the whole thing, it was kind of a life-changing experience.
Yeah, it's a classic.
And as we were leaving the theater, there, standing in the lobby, was my mom. And that was the moment she told my dad that she wanted a divorce. What about you? What was the first animated film you saw?
Bambi. March 14th, 1981. It was the same day we had to put our dogs down.
So well done. So well
the
done.
The timing was
and completely out of nowhere.
So deadpan, and why I love both of them, why they are both geniuses in my book.
Yeah, I'd love to see them host it. In the moment of the night from Meryl Streep.
Yeah, they did a good job. Outside of the winners, which was the big story of the winners, La La Land winning 7 Golden Globes last night. That's more than any movie or TV show has ever won at the Golden Globes. It broke a record. Won Best Film, Musical, or Comedy. Moonlight won Best Drama. On the TV side, drama was The Crown. Comedy was Atlanta. Limited series was People versus O.J. Simpson. We've got a full list of all the acting winners up on the web also. But really, the moment, you know, and these shows are all about spontaneity. Nobody knew what Meryl Streep was going to say when they gave her a Lifetime Achievement Award. They thought, you know, after a very long and beautifully eloquent introduction by Viola Davis, she comes up there, and I guess, you know, people thought she was going to, you know, just talk about her career, but she talked about the president-elect of the United States instead in not very flattering ways.
There was one performance this year that stunned me. It sank its hooks in my heart, not because it was good. There was nothing good about it. But it was effective, and it did its job. It made its intended audience laugh and show their teeth. It was that moment when the person asking to sit in the most respected seat in our country imitated a disabled reporter, someone he outranked in privilege, power, and the capacity to fight back. It kind of broke my heart.
She was very emotional while she was talking about Donald Trump, talking about how the arts have a responsibility to be vigilant. The press has a responsibility to be vigilant. She said it really was kind of ironic that they were at an event for the Hollywood that's put on by the Hollywood Foreign Press Association. And she said this.
You and all of us in this room really belong to the most vilified segments in American society right now. Think about it. Hollywood, foreigners, and the press. We need the principled press to hold power to account, to call them on the carpet for every outrage.
So, yeah. Steve, you're going to be shocked to hear what happened next.
Well, I know what happened next. Donald Trump apologized, and he grew up, and he learned a lesson. Wait, no, I'm being told that's not true.
How wrong you are.
Wait, no, Donald Trump ignored it and didn't tweet. No, I'm told that's wrong as well. What did he do?
Went to the Twitter box, cranked up his Twitter box, and this is what he said this morning. Meryl Streep, one of the most overrated actresses in Hollywood, doesn't know me but attacked last night at the Golden Globes. She is a Hillary flunky who lost big. For the 100th time, I never mocked a disabled reporter, would never do that, but simply showed him groveling when he totally changed a 16-year-old story that he had written in order to make me look bad. Just more very dishonest media.
He's lying, and there's no way to have an argument with a child when the child refuses to grow up. I'm just telling you, I'm rooting for the guy. He's got to be better. He's got to be better. You're letting stuff like this get to you to the point where you send out cranky tweets. What's it going to be like when Kim Jong-un gets upset with you and mocks you? When the president of China? What about your boyfriend Putin when he gets upset? I mean, come on, man, grow up. Biden was right. Grow up.
I will say that Jimmy Fallon did have a funny line last night in his monologue. He said that the Golden Globe ballots have been monitored very carefully by Ernst Young and Putin.
Yes, that's right.
That was a funny joke.
Yeah, well, but I think it's funny. That's not the firm now, is it? I don't know.
You are either applauding Meryl Streep for her courage for doing this. She's taking a lot of heat for this. Or on my social media, people are either applauding and saying how beautiful and eloquent it was, or people are saying, this is an entertainment show. Keep your opinions to yourself. Nobody cares. You're just an actress.
Yeah, which is ridiculous because you're entitled to your opinion and you're entitled to your platform. And when you have a platform, you should use it. Let's go live to Andrea in L.A. now on fashion. What do you have, Andrea?
Top fashion picks, I would say Viola Davis, Brie Larson, Reese Witherspoon, and Gal Gadot.
Yeah, hello. They all look fabulous. Yeah.
They all look good.
And the girl
Viola
from...
Viola Davis in yellow.
Yeah, she looks fantastic.
Pretty, yeah.
The terrific actress from Quantico. Priyanka Chopra?
Chopra.
Yes. She was wearing a gold dress and displaying her globes, so there was no question which award show I was watching.
It sounds like you were golden with all that happening.
I was. I was glowing. All right, buddy. Enjoy your day.
See ya.
That's Dean back with a big story next 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Snap to A-Rod. Looking downfield, scrambles right. Now, winds up, rainbows into the end zone, and it is caught.
Yes!
Into the end zone!
Yes!
Randall Cobb! Touchdown, Green Bay! Hail Mary answered again!
A ver qué hace aquí. Va a tirar el Hail Mary. Va a la zona de anotación. Cuidado.
Oh, my God!
Randall Cobb! Randall Cobb!
¡Qué increíble!
It's ridiculous. I'm watching it, and you go, first off, you got to throw the ball in the right spot. So you got to give Rodgers credit for that. But the Giants' defense to make that mistake, I don't know.
Oh, they did not play well. You've got to just knock that ball down, and you can't let Cobb get behind you.
No.
I mean, even Rodgers said it's like Doug Flutie to Gerald Phelan.
Yeah.
You know, he gets behind the defense.
He almost had time to call it.
Yeah.
Looked like a fair catch. Dan Hampton joins us now. As one of the great defenders in the history of the National Football League, when you saw that completion, how many curse words flew out of your mouth?
It was almost a Chris Conte-esque type of performance by the Giants.
It's unbelievable.
You know, I hate to say it. When you're good, you're good.
Yep.
And once in a while, you know, is a lot to get the Hail Mary to work. But when you get it to work as many times as the Packers do, there's got to be something to it. And, you know, it goes back to just one, you know, two things. Number one, why would you rush three and let the quarterback have all day to set up and
yep.
allow the receivers to go down?
Yep.
Right, you know, rush 4 or 5, get him. And the other one is the secondary members have to have one thought, not interception, not tomahawk the ball to the ground. And
right.
the Giants didn't either. That's why, it worked on them.
It was a bad weekend of games. By the way, I hope nobody spent any money on my Dolphins pick. But 4 blowouts, and, you know, we go to the conference championship weekend slate coming up. But first we get next weekend's games, which traditionally the second weekend of the NFL playoffs, Dave, that's the winner.
Yeah,
that's the one we usually get the best games.
It's a great slate of games next week.
Right.
Except for New England-Houston. I'm not sure how great that's going to be.
Absolutely. Guys, and the top 4 seeds all advance. So, you know, you can, you know, say what you want, but, the good play good. And that's what we're going to see. I got to tell you, the game, Green Bay at Dallas, it's going to be fascinating. Obviously, the pressure and all that. But, you got Aaron Rodgers is, you know, obviously he is what he is. But you got to give the Packer coaches a lot of credit. The first quarter and a half, the Giant defense had to smother them. But they made some adjustments and started getting Aaron Rodgers out of the pocket, doing some of these, you know, crossing and drags across the middle. And it was the Giants had no answer for it. So it'll be interesting to see how well they fare down in Dallas. And the other one, Seattle. You know, Seattle, I think this is the first year since 2011 they did not lead the NFL in points allowed. And they're still like 2 or 3 or 4, something like that. But, hey, Atlanta was our top scoring offense in football this year. So that's going to be a mighty clash. So there's going to be some good games.
You know, the one thing about the Packers, as you look at what they've done, what they've been able to do, and it's pretty remarkable, but you look at Aaron Rodgers over this 7-game stretch, Hamp, 19 touchdowns, no interceptions, but in the game yesterday, he loses Jordy Nelson. Nelson had one catch before he got hurt, and so one catch for 13 yards, which means that of Rodgers' 25 completions, 24 went to other guys for over 340 yards and 4 touchdowns. So, he loses his best receiver, or at least his favorite receiver, and they still pile it on.
And again, that, you know, a lot of coaches named Fox like to make excuses about injuries. Good teams find ways to overcome them.
Right.
And that's what, you know, Adams had a big day. Some of the other receivers that, Geronimo. It's all about getting guys in position to make plays. And smart coaches do that. The players, they're good enough. They make those plays. But, you know, I just got to tell you, the one thing about the Packers that, you know, obviously is kind of turned is their defense. You know, Clay Matthews made a big play yesterday with the strip sack, and then, you know, his great effort going and getting the ball. Those are the kind of plays that kind of carry a team. They kind of fuel it, and the rest of the team's like, wow, look at that. Look at the way he cares. And Julius Peppers still got a little something in the tank. I don't know if anyone believes it, but the last 6 times the New York Giants and the Green Bay Packers played in the playoffs, the team that won that game 6 times has went on to win the world championship. So keep an eye on our friends up north.
The Miami Dolphins and the Oakland Raiders, speaking of injuries, you know, both go out. But these are two teams that are definitely going to be a factor next year and going forward. The two teams that are still in with injuries are the Packers and the Steelers. Does that make them easier to get by?
Well, and again, you know, a lot of times, man, we saw this, you know, over the years that a lot of times the teams come together to overcome the loss of an individual or an important player. You know, it's a rising tide. They all kind of, you know, lock arms and say, hey, we're all going to play better in a compensation way. But I don't know. We'll see. Hey, come on. Hey, we still know that the quarterback position, you can't hide it. You can't skate. Whoever is the actual, you know, quarterback, hey, he's got to be able to read progressions, throw the ball on time, and avoid turnovers. And, you know, that's obviously, Oakland didn't have a kid that could do that. You know, Connor Cook, we all know that going into his senior year over at Michigan State, he was projected to be a pretty high pick, and he played lousy all year, and now we all see why. It's not working for him, and, you know, hey, it's a shame. The Raiders had a great year, and, of course, their quarterback, Derek Carr, gets hurt, and the whole thing's for naught because that one position, again, it's very, very important.
I know everybody wants to write off the Seattle Seahawks. I'm watching them Saturday night against Detroit, and I wasn't shocked by the outcome, but does their ability to run the football now with Thomas Rawls, Hemp, give them a legitimate shot to go into Atlanta because they can maybe keep Matt Ryan and that Atlanta passing offense off the field with a running game?
It'll help. And you know, let's keep an eye on this. You know, and I think I've told you this, that, you know, Pete Carroll was with my football team back way back when at Arkansas. I mean, he's a smart guy, and he realizes – the last thing you can do is go into Atlanta and let them jump out to a lead. Now their defense doesn't have to worry about the run. Now their defense can try to fly around and, you know, force you into mistakes. So you got to believe that Seattle will say, "Hey, we're going to take the ball, put a drive together, run the ball, and hopefully, you know, hang something on the board and keep this thing." The longer the game goes close, the better the chance, of course, of the Seahawks will be. But you know, I'm looking at the all-pro teams and this and that, and we all know, hey, Matt Ryan had a hell of a year. And it'll be, very instructive to see whether or not Seattle's pass rush, and they've got some good pass rushers. Michael Bennett was basically out most of the year. We know Earl Thomas, maybe their best player is out, but Michael Bennett didn't really play in November, December. And he's the next best player on defense. And Atlanta's going to have their hands full with him. So I got to tell you, I'm taking both road teams in the NFC. I like Seattle, and I do like Green Bay to go down and stop Dallas.
Well, that's interesting. That's an early upset pick. We'll see if you feel the same way later in the week. Certainly on paper, Dallas, New England would set up as the favorites at the end, but don't count them out. It's getting interesting. Most importantly, Hamp, we got in a discussion earlier today. Who controls the remote at your house? Do you win the remote control fights?
They locked me in my own room. I don't have to.
So there's a Hamp cave?
Yeah, and you know, it's funny. Tonight we're going to watch the redo of the national championship. Anyway, let's just say I was very interested in it last year, and Alabama had a nice, comfortable lead, and a garbage, you know, touchdown at the end of the game really upset me. And somehow, some way, the remote got broke. and I have no idea how that happened.
Well, you got to tell your wife to control herself.
Yeah, no kidding. But after the game, I realized Mel Tucker was the secondary coach for Alabama, so I shouldn't have been shocked.
Wintrust Community Banks Hour and sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Nobody like Hamp. Nobody like Hamp. Don't mess with his remote. And thank you, buddy. We'll talk to you later in a week. Let me hear you, Paul. Come on, Paul. Let me hear you. Let me feel it.
That's what
Paul Conrad's at Channel 9. We're live on CLTV. How are you, buddy?
Okay, right now, that's where we brought it right.
Paul?
Yeah.
Paul? Okay. Paul, over?
So he can have his choice. He can listen to himself delay.
Or this is the engineer explaining to him how this is going to work.
Wait,
now.
Listen, they're talking about us.
Here for myself.
Well, there he is now.
Hello.
Hi, Paul.
How are you?
I'm fine.
Paul's walking in now.
Coming up for this.
Walking in right now.
Yeah. Wait,
Paul doesn't know that all of this is on the air.
Let's hear if they talk about
it. He doesn't see anything nasty.
All right. Just so you know, I was just told by the producer that Paul thinks it's at 9:15, not at 9:10. But I asked him to be on at 9:10, so I don't know where he got 9:15.
Okay. Let's listen and see what they say about it.
Okay. At first, we don't even know if you hear the radio show.
Yeah. That's a problem. Yeah. No, we don't know what you can hear. We're listening to the setup for the Paul Conrad appearance on the Steve Cochran show.
I hear Steve Cochran talking.
Yeah, that's me. That's me, Paul. That's me talking.
Yes.
Yeah, that's me.
Steve's talking right now.
Yeah, that's me talking right now.
If you use that one, it'll look better.
Yeah, it will look better.
But yeah, it'll look better.
Like 2 seconds delayed.
Oh, that's complex.
Yeah, it is complex. Man, this would be embarrassing if all this was on the air.
You can't plug into this, can you, with your eyes?
Hold on, let me see. Let me try.
Does he look confused? Can you see him?
We haven't seen the feed yet. They haven't put it up.
Yeah.
Oh, well, there you go.
Well, there you go.
Let's use that today.
Use that.
Yeah, it's right. Flawless. Sure, you're works. Listening to a live behind-the-scenes engineering meeting at Channel 9 and CLTV.
It sounds like there are like 20 people. Dude.
We put a lot of people on this.
Okay. So he can just plug into that. I don't know why we have to.
Yeah, I don't know why. I don't know why either.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Okay.
I want to hear if they say anything about
it. All right. So we're
I hope
on
they
now.
Don't swear.
Yeah.
No swearing.
Boy, that'd be weird if all that was on the air.
Yeah, it sure would be weird.
Yeah, yeah.
Woo! Hey, how was that for you guys?
That was riveting. We had the live engineering meeting on the show.
Nice.
Which is great.
Too bad the Golden Globes were last night.
Yeah.
It is too bad.
You would have won a best performance. I don't know who those people were, but they're very good at their jobs.
I don't know their names.
Oh, well, that's embarrassing, isn't it?
They're
big shot talent.
People.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Only worked here 20 years.
Yeah, they were very good, though. Very good.
Yeah, they were
very thorough.
Very efficient.
Yeah.
I walked in, and they were ready to go.
Yeah, it was very impressive.
I actually walked in. I forgot that this segment was going on. I thought it was at 9:15, not 9:10.
No, it's great. That's great that you forgot.
So,
that's fantastic. I've been looking forward to it all morning.
Was it 9:10 or 9:15?
Yeah, 9:10. Yeah, 9:10.
9:10.
Yeah.
So you were waiting for me?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That is so kind.
Yeah. Well,
let me just check my notes, because I think it said 9:15.
No, pretty much 9:10. Yeah, yeah.
All right. Well, listen, I apologize for not being
no apology necessary. We live in the age of President Trump. You don't need to apologize for anything.
All right, screw you.
Yeah, that's the right answer.
I'll be here when I'm here.
All right, so, here we go.
Oh, good. Got my theme music. Care. That showed up just in time also.
It's actually on before, but don't let that stop you.
This is nice.
All right, so we got a discussion earlier, Paul Conrad.
All right.
About who controls the remote in your house.
Yeah.
And here are some of the texters, the recent texters. 630, my husband drives me crazy. We watch TV together. Whenever a commercial comes on, he station hops. By the time the show resumes, I've missed some of it.
Yeah.
Very annoying. My solution is I go upstairs, watch in peace. Who needs together time?
Yeah.
224, I turn the eye of the remote away from my husband's chair. When he comes in the room and tries to switch channels on me, he thinks the remote is broken.
Aha.
630, I remember reading once, a man who doesn't want to know what's on TV, he wants to know what else is on TV.
Ah.
It's a good point.
Yeah, it is a good point.
779, another rule is that when he or she possesses the remote, is voided of privileges when their eyes are closed for more than a minute. Resting your eyes isn't a real thing. You are asleep.
That is true.
I think we can add that to our rules. One of the rules I made, Paul, was possession is 10/10 of the law.
That's right.
If you have possession, I have to ask if I can switch the channel. And then you can turn me down if
That's
you choose.
That's correct. At any point, as long as you've got control of it.
847, my husband died 3 years ago. I miss him, but guess who's got the remote now?
He didn't ask to be buried with it, huh?
No, no. Here's another one. Two remotes. Take the batteries out of one. Give that one to your wife.
Yeah.
Mike says, here's the order of remote in my house. My 7-year-old son first, my wife second, the dog's third, her mother-in-law fourth, the goldfish fifth, my wife's friend and family sixth. I'm somewhere down the line.
Yeah.
All right, so what about your house?
Yeah, I am very down the line also. I believe.
But you don't watch much TV.
That's the thing. I never watch TV because there's nothing good on there, right?
Yeah, you don't believe in TV, do you?
I don't. I don't care for much of it.
Right, right. How do you feel about the show you're on?
It blows.
You mean, wait, this one or the
not
TV
yours,
one?
The
no,
one
this CLTV TV show is fantastic. Paul's referring to his own show.
I would watch that if I was at home. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the old TV, but so the order that it goes, and see, everything's different now. It's not like we're sitting down watching TV.
Right.
Everyone's sitting down to watch, if we're going to sit down, it's because we've agreed we're going to watch this show that we recorded last week. And there's not a bunch of button pushing going on. Does that make sense?
Right. You're all in agreement on what the family will watch together.
Yeah. There's an announcement. Hey, at noon, we're all going to sit down. We're going to watch this thing that we recorded.
Is there an argument with the kids? Like, does Klaus have sway because he's the oldest?
No. It's my wife. She's the one who kind of drives all that stuff. And I'll be honest with you. I don't understand how to work the remote. I can't figure it out for the life of me. So I just sit there and... you know, do what I'm good at.
Which is what?
I sit.
You're pretty good at sitting.
I'm really good at sitting. The other thing I'm good at, but it's not related, but I feel like when people hear me say I'm not good at this stuff, I feel like I need to say something I'm good at.
Yeah.
I'm really good at setting up folding chairs for large events.
Oh, well, see, I didn't know that.
So up to like, I could probably do 300 chairs.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
So you're kind of a maestro when it comes to folding chairs.
Yeah, they're straight, and I can do some, you know, patterns.
Well, we should list a few skills. What other skills do you have?
I'm very good at vacuuming.
You're a vacuumer.
And you know what I'm going to add to the list because I did a lot of it this weekend.
What's that?
Painting.
What'd you paint?
I painted a wall.
What would like a mural?
No. I would just put a. It was a blue wall, and I just put more of the blue that was already on there.
Did it need it, or were you just bored?
I was kind of bored, and I saw a little nick, and I get a little obsessive about stuff. So I patched the nick, sanded it down, and then repainted that thing.
All right, so let's make a list here.
It looks freaking unbelievably good.
All right, so let's make a list. You're good at putting up folding chairs for large groups.
Yep.
You're good at painting walls blue.
Yep.
Third skill?
Vacuum.
Oh, and vacuuming.
Vacuuming, yeah.
And vacuuming.
Very good. I do straight lines with the vacuuming, and then I do a cross cut.
Well, those are fantastic.
Yeah. A lot of very marketable skills.
Yeah, those are all very good. You're a catch.
I am a catch. Yeah. I've been caught, but now I kind of feel like, you know, I'm not appreciated.
So in your house, even though your wife is a mail-order bride from the deepest recesses of Russia, she still controls the remote.
Yes.
Yeah.
And here's the problem, and this is... For you youngsters out there that are thinking getting married to mail order brides, you got to find a way to not let them learn the English language. Because once they learn the language, it's all over.
That's where the trouble starts.
Because my wife, I had her convinced that I was like the king of Illinois and all kinds of things. And then she starts watching TV and then she's learning the language. Next thing you know, she figures it all
out.
So
you found out that there is no king, or she found out there is no king.
Yeah, from watching Sesame Street.
Right. Right.
That's how she learned the language.
Right.
And they did one of those episodes with Elmo talking about the presidents, and it led to a lot of complications for me. So
here's how the kids are handling it. Another texter from the 773. My girlfriend and I fight over who doesn't get the remote because neither one of us want the pressure of disappointing the other. You know what that is? Young love.
Yeah, that is young love.
Right.
And passive aggressive, I think, also.
Right, right.
Huh.
So how was your weekend?
It was good. I painted this wall.
I hadn't heard. Blue?
Blue. Kind of a sky blue. And then I touched up my bathroom. I was so good. Like, you know how you painting's not an easy thing.
But, you know, that's funny you say that because if you don't do the Lou Manfredini thing and fix stuff all the time, if you fix like one thing, then you think, all right, I'm rolling.
Right.
Then you're going to go do something else, and that's how you get into trouble.
That is how. So that's exactly what happened to me. Like, I did this one area. It was maybe a wall that was 2 feet wide and 8 feet high, right? And it looked beautiful. And then I started thinking, well, you know, I did this one well. I'm going to make my way through the house. And that was a mistake.
I think that really is a lesson for all husbands. Do less.
Do less. And brag about it more.
Yeah, do less and talk about it incessantly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that won't make her crazy at all.
No.
No.
Well, then if she complains, then you say, hey, listen, you should have learned English, number one. Number two, here's some paintbrushes. You try it.
If there was a survivor in the entire cast of the WGN Morning News was put on an island.
Yeah.
And you had various skills you had to do. And right. They were like fix-it skills or building skills.
Yeah.
Who would be the leader?
I'm afraid that it would be me.
Larry has no manly skills?
He has zero.
No.
This is the most manly thing Larry Potash has done in the 21 years that I've known him.
Anchoring,
and so he's had some problems with chipmunks in his yard or some animal, right?
Yeah.
And he puts out a cage to catch them, and then he takes it, and he puts it in the trunk of his car, drives to the forest preserve, and lets it out.
Oh, he's a trapper.
And then when he lets it out, does he scream and run away?
Yeah. And he runs back to his car as fast as he can.
Yeah. What about Demetrius?
Demetrius, you know what? He actually does. I forgot. He does have some skill set because I believe he told me that he was putting up drywall once.
Oh, man. Please.
So he does have some.
No wonder he bagged himself the redhead, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. If you can drywall, you can do pretty much anything.
Yeah.
And that's complicated.
Lourdes, does she have any skills?
I don't think she does.
Oh, she does too. You
no,
guys.
I don't think
Lourdes
she
would be doing everything probably.
No, I don't think so.
I know the singing guy, the singing anchor. What's
yeah,
his
yeah.
name?
Dan.
Dan Ponce.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it Dan? Are you sure it's Dan? I thought it was Harpo.
Yeah, it's Ponce. Dan, yeah. So I don't think he has anything.
No, there's no skills there.
Special. He can sing.
No.
And read, but who needs that when you're on a deserted island, right?
Right. After and you know, Dean, minutes, all Dean will do is criticize everybody else's
right, that's
work.
All he does. He's a critic. He'll say, Dan, your singing sucked today.
Right. Well, what about Tomasulo? Tomasulo's little. He's wiry.
Yeah, but I don't think he has any skills.
He's funny.
We would just get him to squeeze through tight spots.
It would be, it would be the largest collection of helpless people ever, staring at each other, hoping that someone would know how to start a fire, and then just distracting each other by doing stupid tricks or singing to each other.
All right, so
death would come after 3 days.
In summation, if we stranded the entire Channel 9 Morning News on an island, you would all be dead in a week.
I don't think we would last a week. I think 3 days would probably do it.
All right, nice experiment we've done here.
Yeah, it is a good experiment. It'd be a good TV show.
Hey, let's do this next week at, write this down, 9:10.
9:10. Hold on a second. Yeah. Let me put that in my phone. Yeah, all right, 9:10 next Monday. I'll be here. Do I look all right? Should I wear anything else?
No, you look good. Right? Maybe one less button for the ladies.
All right, I'll do that right now because one of the things I've been trying to do is lower it each hour of the show so that by noon it is wide open.
Oh, we've noticed.
Yeah, there you go. Here we go. Here we go. There you go.
Oh,
fantastic.
All right. Yeah.
Boy, that's a forest.
Boom, 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 boom.
That's an absolute forest.
All right, I don't want to do too much because I know you got some single ladies and I don't want them lusting after me. And I don't want to cause marriage problems for you married horn dog ladies.
Zoom in on that right there.
I don't know. I don't know when he put that in, but that's impressive.
Yeah.
All right, well, good luck with the rest of your work day.
Hold on, let me show you a little more.
Well, I think we're good now. It's 9:23. We're back after this on 720 WGN. That's Paul.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
The Wang Dang Doodle.
Night 26, Sandberg's here with results from the first playoff weekend. I guaranteed the Dolphins would beat the Steelers, Sandberg. How'd that work out for me?
Not so well for you, but it worked out pretty well for me.
All right, so who was last?
Last.
Had to be me.
No, Andrea.
Yeah, I picked the Dolphins, too.
Well, you know why she was last, though? She picked Ryan Tannehill, and he wasn't playing.
I went all out. It was just a complete pick. No, I did it on purpose. It was a heart pick. Because
she had a whopping 8 points.
You did it on purpose?
I did. I knew,
after all the garbage you gave me on Friday?
I asked Steve, this doesn't count. The season's over.
I won.
I wanted the Dolphins to win, and it was a complete pick by the heart. Why do you look at me here?
Number 7?
Well, that was number 10, so you want number 9 first?
Okay, why don't we go to 9 first?
9th place, Bennett Weeknight.
Oh, Bennett.
Yeah, he had 20
points. By the way, I have a Christmas card for Bennett with a gift in it. Does he ever show up for work anymore?
He does, yeah.
Can I give it to you?
Yes,
okay. You've been listening to an off-air meeting.
8th place, John DeCasse.
Yeah.
And now 7th place, Steve Cochran.
Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah, he had 65 points.
Yeah, that's terrible. I'm ashamed of myself.
6th place is your mother.
Who'd mom pick?
Well, Matt Stafford.
Oh, yeah. Bad night for mom. Fifth?
Yeah. If you recall, though, she was at Phantom of the Opera, so she had a ghost picker.
Yes, that's true.
Fifth place, Mary Vandeveld.
Champ, what
because
happened?
Because she picked Aaron.
I'm in the middle.
The you fall picked from grace.
Aaron Rodgers, but then she had the Patriots.
I screwed up. The Patriots didn't play.
Her actual picks.
I got to tell you, these unforced errors are not that hard.
I didn't understand the new rules
for
the playoffs.
She said the Patriots and whoever they're playing. And I'm like, they're not playing this.
Well, you should have told me that.
I can't be micromanaging this. You don't know by week.
There weren't new rules, right?
I thought the rule was you just. I thought it was for the whole playoffs.
There'll be new rules this weekend.
Yeah, there's not new rules.
And by the way, one of the rules we have is the team has to be playing to pick them.
Right.
Well, I thought it was the whole playoffs, not just this weekend.
This is why your championship is being looked at very closely.
And she came in. How could she? How was she not last? Her team wasn't even playing.
Because she did pick
Aaron
Rodgers.
I still came in fifth place, and I still did it wrong. So,
fourth. Fourth place.
I was waiting to see if her conscience was going to say anything.
Oh, fourth place.
Mike Jacobson.
Nice job, Mike. Third.
Who's third? Oh, I'm sorry. Dave Ennett.
Dave Ennett, congratulations on your third place finish.
I'm not in this to finish third, Steve.
Second place, who also had a ghost picker, Steve Grzanich.
Yeah, I wonder who won.
And I believe
you won.
Myself, yeah. Mary Sandberg.
You won playoff week one.
I did. And you know what's funny is I texted my picks to Mike on Saturday because I said I just want to be on record since I'm the one that's, you know, commissioner here.
So Dave can't accuse you of cheating?
Right, because I felt there was going to be some heat. So I picked Big Ben. I had Pittsburgh winning, and I had 31-17, and it was 30-12.
Wow.
It's strange, though, because I never got that text.
Shut up, I really.
I mean, his rating wasn't very high.
It was a little bit above Aaron.
I thought we ended all this with the regular season.
Aaron was 85.
Roethlisberg was 11-11 until he threw the first pick.
Yeah.
Wow. Mary's conscience, I don't know how you went from winning the championship to finishing fifth in the first playoff weekend.
Well, if somebody would just explain the rules right.
Exactly.
I mean, I'm all the way up here on the seventh floor. You want me to come all the way down to get the rules? I'll do that.
Guys,
but next time.
Nothing changed.
You guys talk in between. You figure it out. I'm up here by myself.
What? Right.
And where's my trophy, by the way?
It's unbelievable. And then Steve lost the remote. I couldn't even watch the game.
Where's my trophy? Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't even seen you to present your trophy.
See, you guys got your participation trophies. I didn't even get the real thing.
Keep this up. You're not even going to get a certificate.
Actually, it's not a participation trophy. It was a victory trophy from a few seasons ago.
I think what we have is a ribbon. A ribbon for Mary.
Yeah.
So is this going to be a cumulative for
the playoffs?
For the playoffs. And then we add a running back this week?
Yes, this week we'll add a running back or a receiver.
Oh, you have a choice.
And for the Super Bowl, you'll need to add both.
Okay, good.
You might want to add, what is it, Le'Veon Bell? He's really good.
Yeah. Well, you would know. You won this week.
I know.
Yeah. And I want to see the rules in
writing. All right, what are the team scores for the weekend?
Oh, the don't cares a little bit squeak out over the do cares.
Oh, well.
And that's because of my big win. I carried us. Well, Steve Grzanich and I carried us, but I did Steve's picks, so basically I carried
us. That's a sentence you'll probably never say again.
Steve Grzanich only carried the donuts. Yeah, that's really all he carried.
His ghost picker.
All right, there you go. There's your Wang Dang Doodle picks for the week with, again, Sandberg win. Is this your first weekly win?
No, I won once in the regular season.
I don't think that's true.
Mary, won the most first places throughout the season?
Stop.
I believe Andrea Darlis.
Thanks, Mary.
Yeah. Doesn't count.
It's 9:31. And we'll take a break, come back, and this harmony will continue in just a moment. We're going to check in with my friend Paul Coit, live from London as well, before 10, and Bill and Wendy, who today is Wendy and Andrea.
That's right.
On 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Things have changed at the Royal Palace. Whenever the Queen walks into a room now, she plays this. Paul Coit's on the phone now, our London correspondent, our bureau chief, going, "How dare you? How dare you?" Let me hear you say, "How dare you?"
How very dare you?
Hi, buddy.
Yeah, well, I think that should be our new national anthem. I like that.
It is good.
Very much. I think it's lovely, lovely piece of music, really.
And that's made famous by Benny Hill, I believe, right?
Yes, yes, who should have been king, but unfortunately never got to that lofty heights.
Yes, but, King Benny.
See, that's the thing. Everybody looks at Benny Hill. Nobody mentions Benny Hill now because it's all a bit, you know, a bit 70s, a little bit sexist, you see. So he's not on TV anymore, so we kind of, like, shy away from Benny these days, which is sad. So, you know, he was quite a man in his day.
In his day. How is the Queen? Because the Queen, I'm told, made her first appearance in a long time this weekend.
It actually wasn't her. It was actually a man dressed up as the Queen. If you look very carefully, it's from long-distance lenses. So it actually was not her, I don't think, because there's all this worry and talk about what's here. Of course it was her. She was fine. She's okay. She had a little bit of a cold. Everybody's gone on emergency. Right, are we ready for what's going to happen? And what's going to happen is going to be quiz. Is Chuck going to get the hat, as you said many years ago?
Yes.
But no, I think Chuck better put the hat away for a little bit longer because the Queen is back in town, my friend.
Yes. Are we any closer to her? Now, she would never step aside because of what her father did, right?
Is that the reason? I don't even know whether that'd be the reason. See, it's all very, it's a bit convoluted. If you've seen the King's speech, then that kind of, I'll outline the story as quickly as I possibly can. 1936, George V died, who was the Queen's grandfather. Stop me at any point if I then start boring you. But then his oldest son, who became Edward VIII, became the King because he was the oldest prince.
Right.
He then married an American.
He
married an American.
What was her name? Wallace Simpson?
Wallace Simpson, who was a divorcee, which, quite frankly, is disgraceful. So everybody was up in arms.
Is it still disgraceful, or was it just disgraceful then?
So, beg your pardon?
Is it still disgraceful, or was it just because those were the times?
I think it was the times. I think it's okay these days, because don't forget, Prince Charles has also married a divorcee.
That's a very good point.
Anyway, so it was all, you know, this man can't be our king. It's ridiculous. So then he said, oh, well, whatever. And then it was decided that he was going to abdicate. So he stepped down after less than a year. Then the Queen's father, George VI, then took over in 1936 and then died in 1952. And then the Queen, well, there we are since then.
All right. So the Queen, we don't believe, will ever step aside. Chuck's been waiting for the hat for years. Next in line after Prince Charles is?
Is Benedict Cumberbatch, I think.
Is it really? I had no idea.
Is he fourth or fifth? It's Prince William is next, then Prince William's son, then Prince William's daughter, then it goes to Harry, then it's Benedict Cumberbatch.
All right, so if Prince William becomes the king, is Kate the queen?
Yes, she would become the queen, correct.
All right, so how come Queen Elizabeth's husband isn't the king?
Only if you've got a queen. See, this is where the sexism stuff comes into play. If it's a queen, then the man doesn't become a king. He just becomes a prince. But if it's a boy, then he becomes a king. But the wife becomes the queen. It's like the queen's mother, who was known as the Queen Mother, she was Queen Elizabeth, the Queen Mother. So although the queen had taken over from the other queen, she stayed a queen, although she was the Queen Elizabeth, Queen Mother. Isn't that the name of a ship? I don't know. But anyway, that's kind of how it works. It makes perfect sense to someone.
Yeah. I'm pretty impressed that you know it, even if you're just making it up.
You know I'm making this up, don't you? You know I'm like, okay, yeah.
Before we ask you about the pending doom of the inauguration, for the rest of the world and your opinion of it. Because, look, I've come to the conclusion, he's our president, man. We got to live with him. We got to live with him. We got to root for him. We got to support him. We got to try to get this guy to stop being a knucklehead, to get off Twitter, and to be the best he can possibly be. Hold on.
Well, you've got to speak to Meryl Streep about this. Has she not been talking to you about this?
Yeah, no, I didn't get the memo. But, Andre, you had a question before we get to that.
Paul, I did. Oddsmakers are saying that there will be a royal wedding this year. Prince Harry and Meghan Markle, yes?
Yes. What do you like? Well, the thing is, we're split there. We've got the Atlantic between Meghan and Harry. What do you reckon? I think it's just conjecture. It's pure conjecture and rumor. What do you reckon? Do you think it's on?
I think it's on.
Who is Meghan Markle?
I think it's on.
She's his American.
She's an actress, isn't she?
Yeah, but I mean, what is she on?
TV.
She's on Suits.
She's on Suits.
Suits. Yeah. She's really good. She's Northwestern alum.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah.
Attractive young woman?
Yes. Maybe she's in some commercials, too. You probably recognize.
Maybe they'll have a flat in the city here.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
You know, I think there's definitely something there. But I don't.
If
think
they need a place to
a
stay,
wedding the size of Williams.
Well, I was going to say, if they need a place to stay when they come to town, since she's a Northwestern grad, all Northwestern grads. I just saw a picture
I
of her.
Showed him a picture.
All Northwestern grads stay with Dave when they're visiting in town.
Oh, really?
Not all of
Is
them.
That right?
No, all of
Not
them.
Not all of them.
Yeah, visiting Northwestern alumni stay with Dave Bennett.
Go Cats. How many is that usually a year then, Dave?
Oh, he runs them through like an Airbnb. It's
unbelievable.
It's
however many really? We can squeeze in, Paul.
Yeah.
Okay, but the thing is, if it's he's the boyfriend of the Northwestern grad, which, quite frankly, I still don't know what that means, does that mean that he can stay too or just her?
I don't know if we have room for the entourage.
He could stay by me and she right. could stay by you.
Yeah, okay. It probably works.
I don't think he has much of an entourage, to be honest with you, because he's further down the royal chain there, and I think he probably just has a very slight entourage, not too much of it.
Good, because my place isn't that big.
Yeah, well, you don't need much room. Just
also,
you and Harry.
Also, their mind is quite small as well. None of them are over 5'5", so you won't have any problems.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. All right, let's really blend into the scenery much better that way.
We had news over the weekend that your Prime Minister, Theresa May, is going to visit our president, incoming President Trump.
Oh, wow.
Sometime soon. How do you feel about that?
I think it's probably a necessary thing that has to be done, doesn't it, really? Like you said, you've got to make the best of it. He's the president, so what do? You just ignore him? Have you got the phrase, sent to Coventry? Have you got that phrase?
No, what does that mean?
If you're going to send someone to Coventry, there's a city called Coventry in this country, but if you go, I'm going to send them to Coventry, it means that you won't speak to them. So that's actually what that means. So she can't really send him to Coventry, so I guess she's got to have some sort of meeting. I think there's probably a lot of world leaders that think of the same thing, like, well, I suppose we better go and see him and see how it goes.
Is there anything you need from us that she might ask for?
What do we need? I don't know. I think probably the Twitter thing is probably would be a good idea. Leave off that for a while.
Just
it's
get off Twitter.
Worry people over here as well. So we'll start with the Twitter. We could have some cash. I mean, we're quite happy. He seems to have a fair bit of that. We could send some of that over just for a bit of fun.
Does he have a Trump property in London? Is there a Trump hotel in London?
No, there is no Trump hotel in London.
I'd keep it that way.
Yeah, I think so. And in fact, now, I really don't think that's going to happen. He's got that golf club, hasn't he, up in Scotland?
Yeah.
Where he had the problem with the wind turbines. But I think that's about all, to be honest with you. There's nothing in London that we know of.
Well, look, again, he's our president. And I don't want you making fun of him. Because I would never...
You know what? I'd never dream of that. You know me.
And I would never do it.
I would never dream of making fun of your president.
I would never do it. I'm fully in support of him, and I want him to be great.
I know
listen,
you are.
I want him to be great. If he's great, we all win.
Yeah.
But get off the Twitter, man. Get off the Twitter. all right. I felt this was a fully encompassing report. Last question to you is Tottenham Hotspur. How are we doing?
Yes. They're doing marvelous. They won. They beat Chelsea,
yes,
as
they
you
did.
Know, which is the best team in the country. Big rivalry. That was marvelous. And then they won against Aston Villa, who is Tom Hanks' favorite team and Prince William's favorite team. So they're not very happy today. So we beat them. Everything is looking very rosy at the moment. Thank you very much.
That's our friend Paul Coit, live from London.
Bless you.
My best to your family. Hugs to the kids and your wife, and I'll talk to you later.
Happy New Year, my friend.
You too, buddy.